Currently 2.5-point favorites over the Dallas Cowboys entering this Sunday's matchup. While the Browns waived wide receiver Kadarius Toney and placed cornerback Greg Newsome on injured reserve. ESPN says the Heat are listening to offers for forward Jimmy Butler. Class of 2025 top prospect A.J. DeBonsa is chosen to go to BYU.
Fox Sports update on KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, and new daily specials, and check out the great new golf shop. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, this is your Agribusiness Update. The Food and Drug Administration and USDA announced a joint request for information about food date labeling, including terms like sell-by, use-by, and best-by. The request asks for data on industry date labeling practices, research results on consumer perceptions, and any impact it may have on food waste and grocery costs. FDA Deputy Commissioner Jim Jones says confusion over many date labeling terms account for about 20% of food waste. Activist groups called it a precedential victory for food and environmental safety when federal district court ruled that genetically engineered organisms must be regulated. This overturns the 2020 rule overhaul by the first Trump administration that eliminated most government oversight over GE crops, trees, and grasses. The plaintiffs say the ruling is a sharp rebuke of the Trump administration to almost eliminate oversight of all GE technology. The USDA's farm income forecast for 2024 revealed a difficult year for the nation's ag producers. At $140.7 billion, USDA projected net farm income for 2020 is down $6 billion from last year and $41.2 billion from 2022 when net farm income reached its peak. The American Farm Bureau says crop producers face dramatic declines in cash receipts with little hope of immediate relief as supply chain disruptions continue and commodity prices remain depressed.
Get the equipment and trucks you need at Ritchie Brothers' next Sacramento sale on December 11th and 12th. This online auction features close to 3,000 items to choose from, including a wide selection of heavy construction equipment and truck tractors. Don't miss Ritchie Brothers' absolute unreserved auction on December 11th and 12th. Open to the public and registration is free. For more details, visit rbauction.com. Again, that's rbauction.com.
Bad theater seats, cheap Halloween masks, my apartment, all things with obstructed views. Add to these large trucks and buses. 18-wheelers and large buses have big blind spots and, like my apartment, they don't always have the best view. Bus and truck drivers deal with blind spots around the entire vehicle. Always take care not to ride alongside or too close behind them. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your Agribusiness Update.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News Update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Charles Payne, and this is the Fox Business Report.
A choppy trading session with stocks mixed in afternoon trading as investors focus on key inflation data released on Wednesday morning that could influence the Fed's upcoming interest rate decision. Most mega cap tech stocks are higher, with Google parent Alphabet leading the charge. Its stock is up over 5% after the company unveiled a new generation chip. Apple stock is up slightly and on track for a new record close. However, some of the market's gains today are being offset by an over 7% decline in Oracle shares after the cloud computing company missed Wall Street estimates for second quarter results. Shares of Boeing are popping 4% after the plane maker announced that it would restart production of its best-selling 737 MAX jets nearly 3 months after its machinist union went on strike. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Trump's victory doesn't mean our financial worries are over. Hi, Dr. Ron Paul here. Washington spending addiction still threatens your savings. That's why I recommend gold IRAs from my friends at Birch Gold Group. These accounts protect your retirement from government mismanagement. For a free info kit on gold IRAs, text the word SHELTER to 989898. Don't wait. Text SHELTER to the number 989898 now for your free kit from Birch Gold.
Message and data rates may apply.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Everyone knows that capitalism is responsible for scarring the earth, polluting the air and water, and squandering nature's bounty. Or is it? I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by Mills Construction. For architectural, metal, roofing, and siding, call Aaron at 610-1256.
Virtually every one of us is an environmentalist at heart. Therefore, we're all preconditioned to accept the idea that men in search of profit have torn up the hills, scraped the earth bare, destroyed the forest, and dumped their waste in the nation's streams and lakes. The motive, of course, pure greed. Certainly there's evidence that in the past, when our country seemed limitless in its expanse and capable of bearing the wounds inflicted by puny humans, there was too little regard for nature. And it was government that first sounded the alarm. President Teddy Roosevelt, an outdoorsman himself, led the charge. Of course, there were also far-sighted individuals who'd been crying out against such things as hydraulic mining for gold, a method that ripped into hillsides and choked rivers and streams with gravel. They raised a cry against the early lumber barons who cut down the trees and moved on with no thought of replanting. But today, so much progress has been made. The lumber industry is virtually on a sustained yield basis, planting as many trees as are harvested. Strip miners replace the topsoil, and stringent controls limit air and water pollution by industry. Now it seems that we, the people, are the despoilers through our own government agencies. The biggest polluter of San Francisco Bay is the city sewer system. In New York City, it is the dumping of garbage in the Atlantic Ocean that threatens the coast with a tidal wave of toxic sludge. And for a time, the nearest stream or body of water was automatically the city sewer system. But we are doing something about it. The present-day doom criers notwithstanding, we can all feel pretty good about what has been accomplished here in the United States at both the private and government level. In fact, we may be troubled now and then by protective overkill. For example, only a few years ago, the governor of a state fronting on one of the Great Lakes announced he was going to halt any industrial thermal pollution that changed the lake's temperature by more than 1 degree. By that, he meant no plant could turn clean but hot water into the lake. This would have meant millions of dollars in cooling towers and equipment. Yet that particular lake undergoes a temperature change of about 40 degrees every year between winter and summer. But to make us a little proud and optimistic, hear the story of a Soviet trawler captain who defected 3 years ago and sailed his ship into a Swedish port. He has described the fishing operation of those Russian trawlers that seem to be off every coast in every ocean. They use such fine mesh nets, he says, that they catch half-grown fish of every kind, the result being that much of the catch rots on board. If the refrigerator vessels can't take what they have, the surplus is thrown overboard, polluting the spawning grounds with rotten fish. If they sail into port with their catch and the port facilities can't handle their haul, it is dumped on shore to decay and taken inland later to be burned. The refugee captain estimated no more than one-third of the catch ever reaches the consumer as food. That ties in with other information about Soviet agriculture. Their need for food imports is not alone the result of drought, crop failure, or just plain inefficiency in farming. Like the fish, much of their agricultural output rots in the field or spoils in storage. I just thought you'd like to know that. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan, in his own voice, brought to you by Mills Construction, specializing in pre-engineered metal buildings. Call Aaron at 610-1256.
Protecting what matters on the right choice, AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM with Barry Fisher. Advice and information on protecting what matters most in today's world. Brought to you by Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers and their new associate, Heather Bordan, serving the commercial insurance needs of businesses on the Central Coast.
It's Tuesday, and it's 12:30, and it's time for Protecting What Matters. PWM is the broadcast that helps you become better shoppers and buyers of services and products to protect various aspects of your life, health, and property. We also explore current events, our history, community, institutions, and local treasures that are notable and worth preserving. We've got two terrific guests today. In this first half hour, we have Rabbi Gordon Chabad of Paso Robles. We're going to be talking about rising anti-Semitism around the world versus hope of continued Arab-Israeli cooperation. We're going to talk about the story of Hanukkah and Paso Robles menorah lighting ceremony on December 29th. And then the rabbi is in the middle of his year-end campaign, so he's going to be talking about Chabad of Paso Robles and his plans for 2025. So, Rabbi, welcome to Protecting What Matters.
Thank you.
Or welcome back to Protecting What Matters.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be back.
It's great to have you here. And then from 1 to 2 o'clock, we have gerontologist Alexandra Morris. We're going to be talking about the California San Luis Obispo County Master Plan on Aging, something that she's involved with a fairly large group of folks in the county. She's a geriatric care manager, so she's going to talk about that and what role that plays in the aging and long-term care planning process, and then tips and indicators on what to watch for when we see an aging one loved one during the holidays. You can call in with questions or comments, 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. So, you know, Rabbi, you've been on the show a couple of times, but I just reintroduce yourself a little bit. Tell the audience about your background. I know you've really lived, for a young guy, you've lived all over the world, and you're certainly in an interesting profession. Tell us about that.
Thank you. Just briefly, I'm Rabbi Meir Gordon. My wife and I, we direct the Chabad Jewish Center here in Paso Robles. We serve the communities across the North County predominantly. I grew up in London, England. Spent some time studying in yeshiva in Israel. Lived for a number of years on the East Coast. And about 3 years ago, we moved out here to the Central Coast to be able to give back and to provide for the Jewish community and for the wider community here in Paso Robles and the region.
Great. Well, you made a good choice to come to California.
So far, so good.
So one of the things I want to start discussing with you is, you know, we're living, I mean, at least in my lifetime, which is a lot longer than yours, in unprecedented times of anti-Semitism. I was reading an article actually this morning that Jewish students who are looking to go to college are not looking at Ivy League schools anymore. They're looking to go to schools in the South where, you know, people, it seems more tolerant to them than the Ivy League schools. And you know, we've seen just such a rash of campus violence and anti-Semitism. We saw the horrible, it was referred to as a pogrom in Amsterdam, where Islamic students and rioters rioted at a soccer game and beat up a lot of the Jewish folks there. And then just recently, a Chabad rabbi was killed in Abu Dhabi. So what's happening in your mind? What's happening here? And tell us about this rabbi. Whoever would have thought that there was a Chabad rabbi in Abu Dhabi?
Right. So first of all, just obviously the it hits home. As Jews, we're all one family, but especially the Chabad rabbi in Abu Dhabi was a colleague of mine. I didn't know him personally, but we have a lot of mutual acquaintances. I have family members that work at the Chabad in Abu Dhabi, so it definitely hits close to home. Terrible tragedy, a despicable act of terrorism. About anti-Semitism in general, it's on the one hand, it's the world's oldest hatred. It's been around forever. Mm-hmm. As long as Jews were around, which is a good 3,000 years or so. It's real, and it is rearing its ugly head again now in ways that it hasn't before, especially on the college campuses, which is a whole different story. But even across the country and across the world, it's really come back. But on the other hand, it's not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have to do our thing. We keep on doing our thing. We keep on shining light. I like to say I don't fight anti-Semitism. I think I may have mentioned this on the show before, but I think every upstanding individual in America and in the world should be fighting anti-Semitism, because we don't want the next generation to grow up in a world where people are hated because they are who they are. But what I do is I promote pro-Semitism. I think people should be proud of who they are. And as Jews, we have a very rich heritage. We have a lot to be proud of. So explore our heritage. Instead of having an identity of we were hunted in the Holocaust and we're hated because of who we are, we have so much to be proud of and so much that we contribute to the world. So I think it's good.
Good. It's a good attitude. You know, and so just try to explain to myself and the audience. I mean, you pointed out to me that Jared Kushner, of course, President-elect Trump's son-in-law, and the Kushner family has given well over $1 million to Chabad over the last few years. Jared actually donated $1 million to the UAE, the United Arab Emirate Chabad, after the murder. So I'm trying to find the word. What's Chabad doing in these Gulf states? Obviously, they're being welcomed by the government at some level. How does Chabad fit into the whole Middle Eastern thing?
So Chabad is all over the world. Mm-hmm. The joke was that wherever there's Coca-Cola, there's Chabad. But now Chabad is in over 100 countries, all 50 states, as well as the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. And we're there to provide for the Jewish community, for the local community, anything, your address for anything Jewish. So if there are Jewish people in the United Arab Emirates and there's a way for Chabad to cater to them, we'll be there. Mm-hmm. About the Jared Kushner or whoever else wants to donate to Chabad, you know, I said about anti-Semitism. We don't fight hate with sticks and guns. We fight hate with light, fight darkness with light. And I think that's something that Chabad is doing. Perhaps that's why they were targeted. Don't focus on the individual, don't get confrontational, just add light and the dark dissipates. Mm-hmm. And that's something that Chabad is doing. So if Mr. Kushner was looking for a good return on his investment, it was a good place to put the $1 million, I think Chabad of the UAE is a great choice. Okay. Highly recommended. Or any other Chabad anywhere else in the world.
So
hint, hint.
but yeah, you know, really. But I guess what I'm trying to find out from you is why does Chabad feel it's so important for them to be in places like Abu Dhabi and the UAE? And obviously they're probably, if the Abraham Accords expand out to more countries, let's say Saudi Arabia, they may be there as well. Mm-hmm. How do they see that as part of the strategic plan?
So the Chabad perspective is every person is pure. Every person is born with a soul. Every person's soul is untainted and worthy of being communicated with and worthy of sharing. If there's something that we know that somebody else could benefit from, we should share it with them, whether they're in Cambodia, in Kathmandu, in Hawaii, in Wyoming, or in Abu Dhabi. So if there are Jewish people there, which there are, and now recent business development has gone sky high, especially for Israelis, and the opportunity is there, and the people are there, and we're there to service them, to cater to them.
So much of what we see in the Middle East is the whole notion here that who really fights it more than they're more than fighting Jews, they're fighting each other all the time. But it's this rift between the Sunni Arabs, which are about 85%, about 85% of all the Muslims in the world, versus the Shiites, who are the, who are 15%, the Saudis, and most of the Gulf states, I believe, are Sunni Arabs, okay? The Iranians are Shia. So, and then what we just saw in Syria, Assad was a Shia. So a lot of this violence that we're seeing, Muslim on Muslim violence, is really driven from their own religion, correct?
Based on what you're saying, so it would seem.
Yeah, so.
But I think from a Jewish perspective, you know, Judaism is very pro-life, protecting life, anyone's life. Every innocent life should be protected and promoted. And we don't want to see anybody dying. So we don't celebrate when people die. The only people who unfortunately have to be killed is the people that are committing evil acts and atrocities. And unfortunately, we don't want to. Sometimes we have to go to war with them. So it's painful when anybody dies. But Yeah. It's so confusing. You know, you would have asked me yesterday. I don't know what changed since yesterday to today. Every day, the
you only have to turn on the news and see every it's moving pretty quickly. What are you hearing from your friends and colleagues in Israel about the situation? You know, with Hamas and Hezbollah. You know, are things calming down a little bit? Then, of course, now of course, the United States and Israel are acting in Syria at some level to try to degrade the new. Islamic fanatics that are Islamists, as they're referred to. You know, what are you hearing from Israel?
It hasn't been. I don't know if the waves have reached us from Israel since everything that has happened. But in general, I think. I mean, I can't say this is wonderful, excellent news. What's going on in Syria for Israel? I don't think any of the parties in Syria would put their life on the line, or pretty much anything else on the line, to protect the Jewish people in Israel. Or anyone else in Israel. So I don't think it's a very safe situation. And I think Israel is taking the steps they need to take to make sure they are as well equipped as possible to protect their people. We keep on praying. That's one thing we could do. Like I said, the war of anti-Semitism, the war with Hamas, Hezbollah, there's a spiritual element to it. There's only so much we could do here, sitting in California, on the ground. There's not much we could do, but we could pray, and we could increase in acts of goodness and kindness, and we can make the world a brighter place, because there's definitely a spiritual element to all these controversies.
Well, and there, again, we're going to leave this, but there's just so much complexity because, of course, you know, the big supporter of this new group of Islamists is Turkey. You know, and Turkey, again, is there that they are a Sunni Arab country, okay, that used to get along with Israel until this latest president. So who knows what's going to happen? It's not a good picture.
Right, yeah.
So anyway, let's turn
I think it's just important that we remember that I think the two important ideas that we have to remember is that protecting life, and sometimes that it costs. Your wars are messy, but if we finish the war, then we can protect life in the future instead of letting wars drag on forever and ever. And I think it's important to go back to the Bible, which many of us believe in, and the Bible talks about the land of Israel being God's gift to the Jews forever. And we just have to remember that when we're talking about land and which land and where land, we're not visitors. We're not the newcomers on the scene.
You're not colonizers.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. All right, let's talk about Hanukkah. This is a first for me. I never recall Hanukkah, the first night of Hanukkah, being on Christmas Day. I mean, so in 70 years, I've never recalled that happening. I'm sure there's some sort of application that could tell us how all these calendars line up. But why don't you give us the Maccabees were freedom fighters, Jewish freedom fighters. Tell us a little bit about that story and how it maybe relates to what we've been talking about. And then I'm just going to let you launch into what you've got planned. I went to the menorah lighting last year at the Paso Park, and it was great. I liked the gelt drop. That was fun. So tell us about Hanukkah and why this all, how this all fits into what we're looking at today.
Absolutely. So the Hanukkah story takes us back about almost 2,200 years ago. So about 200 before BCE, before the Common Era. When there was the Assyrian Greek Empire that was in control of the land of Israel at the time, there was a very strong Jewish presence. The Holy Temple still stood in Jerusalem, but there was a movement to impose the Hellenistic Assyrian Greek culture on the local Jewish population.
Which is what was basically having many gods as opposed to just one.
Yeah, yeah.
And idols and all that.
Lots of idol worship. And
yeah.
And imposing the other different cultures on the local people, which I think there's a name for it in America. I forgot what it is. And the harlot of the story happens in the town, the Jewish town of Modi'in, where the Greeks come in and they try to force the local community to worship idols. And a battle erupts where the Jewish community is not ready to give in on that. And it's really, there's two miracles, the story of Hanukkah. There's the miracle of the victory, where this became a countrywide battle, many, many battles where the few won over the many, the weak over the strong, and really the right, the good over the evil. Mm-hmm. And that's what we celebrate, because like you say, today's day and age, more than ever, and throughout history, there's always that battle of the small minority, the small good that sometimes is not so noticeable, and the evil that's very noticeable. And Hanukkah, we celebrate the victory of the good over the evil, the few over the many. And then there was the miracle that when they came to the Holy Temple, they needed special oil to light the menorah, the candelabra, in the Holy Temple. And all the oil that they found was defiled. It didn't have the level of purity that was necessary. And miraculously, they found one dose of pure olive oil that was sealed. And that one dose that would have lasted one day lasted 8 days until they were able to obtain new fresh oil. So this is the miracle of the victory of the war and the miracle of the oil, which is why we light the Hanukkah menorah for 8 days long.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We have a bunch of these Hanukkah menorah kits. I have one here with me. If there's anyone who offer open to the Jewish community, if there's anybody who needs or could use a Hanukkah menorah, we have them available. Please don't hesitate to reach out. We are also having, big part of Hanukkah is the publicizing the miracle. So we're having a grand menorah lighting in the downtown city park. It's going to be lots of fun for all ages, all types of people. Live music, activities for the kids, hot latkes, hot soup, and of course the gelt drop.
Tell us about the gelt drop.
Okay, so there's a Hanukkah tradition that parents give gifts of money to their children, and Yiddish money is gelt, to encourage them to study Torah and to do good things. And there's become an American custom to use chocolate gelt, chocolate coins. Mm-hmm. And together with the Pastor Robles Fire Department, we've arranged, they're going to be there, and we have these chocolate coins with parachutes. They're going to be raining down on the kids and on the adults, and those young at heart. And it's we've done it last year, and Barry says it was a great experience, and we're looking forward to doing it again.
So are you using local Paso Robles olive oil in the menorah?
We're working on it.
You're working on it, huh? as a child and then as a rabbi, what is your favorite part of Hanukkah?
I think Hanukkah is a time that's really connected to be who you are. It's a time of pride, Jewish pride, and really taking who we are and realizing that it's not something we have to hide. It's not something we have to hide. It's something we could be out in the open about, especially in America. And we're grateful for the opportunities and the freedoms that America gives us, the freedom to practice our religion in public. It wasn't always like that. The Jews didn't always benefit from that freedom, especially in Europe. And it was always fun going to the public menorah lightings. I mean, growing up in London, we had this 30-foot tall Hanukkah menorah that we would go to every night. They had a big lighting. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So of course, the donuts.
And the donuts. But that's what you remember as a kid.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what kind of special, what do you think, we were talking before the show about a little bit about the connection between the Old Testament and the New Testament. I mean, do you think there's any parallels here, between what happens at Hanukkah and what happens at Christmas?
I don't think so. Okay. I think they're completely unrelated.
Okay.
They happen to be maybe the same time of the year. Mm-hmm. Hanukkah goes back, like I said, 2,200 years ago.
Okay.
Beautiful holiday.
I kind of like it that they're so close together this year, because it makes it a little bit more festive and all that type of stuff. All right. So tell us, before we got about another minute or so here, and before the break, why don't you tell us a little bit about your end of year campaign, and then also on the other side of the break, I want you to take some time talking a little bit about the stuff you plan to do with mm-hmm. in the community next year. But hold that. Tell us about the end of the year campaign, and if we run out of time, you can we'll do it on the other side too.
Okay, so I'll tell you after the break. I'll tell you all the reasons why you should support Chabad of Paso Robles.
Okay,
but all the things that we do, but. We are a local nonprofit that's funded locally. We don't receive any funding from any major organizations. And we are running our end-of-year campaign. It began yesterday at noon, 72 hours. So that goes until noon on Thursday, where we are raising $60,000. We've had some generous matchers that are going to match some of the funds. So if you donate now, your money becomes worth double your impact. It's on chabadpaso.com/spark. We're into sparking connections. The thing people like most is when they connect with other people, connect with fellow Jews, just sitting around baking challah together, coming together at a menorah lighting, at a Torah class. People love coming together, those connections, mm-hmm. lighting those sparks. So we're sparking connection in Paso Robles. And we're doing that specifically these 3 days, raising $60,000. Chabadpaso.com/spark.
Okay. And are you going to... Yeah, hopefully, I encourage you to extend that time period. I know you're trying to
compress
it, but I think people, it's that time of year. But we'll talk about.
And it's December. Every donation is tax deductible. You get a tax deductible receipt. So anybody's looking to increase their donations before the end of the year.
So now you're a CPA, huh? Just kidding. All right, folks. When we return, we're going to talk a little more about what Chabad provides the community, and probably some more about the end of the year campaign as well. So stand by.
The customer service and workmanship at Davis Body Shop is first rate.
Jessica, who is a North County resident, talks about her experience at Davis Body Shop.
Lori, Eric, and Patrick were super helpful. Patrick did a great job ensuring that everything my car needed was done in an incredibly fast time. My car looks amazing inside and out. For body work and customer care, Davis is the best, and we would never take our cars anywhere else.
Davis Body Shop has repaired well over 80,000 vehicles since 1962, and today Davis is the longest established shop on the Central Coast. If you ever need the services of Davis Body Shop, remember, they are San Luis Obispo County's most honored, respected, and trusted auto collision specialist with two locations, on El Camino Real with a convenient enterprise car rental facility, and Davis Body Shop on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
Wesley with Stove and Spa Center. It's finally getting cool and we don't want to leave you out in the cold. Stove and Spa Center has a great selection of stoves, inserts, and fireplaces to get you warm and cozy in your house this winter. Don't miss savings on freestanding stoves, gas inserts, and fireplaces. How would you like being warmer this winter and save money too? It's possible with a fireplace insert from Cozy Heat. Cozy Heat's highly efficient gas inserts and fireplaces come in many styles to fit any home's decor. Save big on Cozy Heat fireplaces and inserts during Stove and Spa Center's Big Autumn Sale. All products we offer are on our website at stoveandspa.com. Save big on Cozy Heat fireplaces and inserts during Stove and Spa Center's Big Autumn Sale going on right now. Don't miss out on all the special offers at Stove and Spa Center, 7485 El Camino Real, Atascadero between Curb Rail and Moore Roads.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. We're visiting with Rabbi Meir Gordon of the Chabad of Paso Robles. Call in with questions or comments, 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. So let's, you had a couple more things on the menorah lighting on the 29th. That starts at 4:30, correct?
December 29th, 4:30 p.m.
Okay.
Lasts about an hour and a half. But is all the information available on our website.
Okay.
Registration is not required. It's in the park, but we do appreciate if people could pre-register. That way we know who to, what to expect and who to expect. It's also safer that way. Our website is Chabad, C-H-A-B-A-D, Paso.com /light. Mm-hmm. That's the address for the information on the menorah lighting and to register. And we appreciate if anybody would like to join us. More than welcome to join us. Please register, and that'll help us out.
I was actually amazed at how many people showed up last year at the park. There must have been a couple hundred people, 200-300 people there. It was very well attended.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was terrific. Any local dignitaries or grandees that you know are going to be there?
It's still undisclosed.
It's an undisclosed list, huh?
Being the last week in December, a lot of people are away.
Mm-hmm.
But we will have, it's going to be a nice show of support. It's an opportunity for people to support the Jewish community, mm-hmm. and the Jewish community feels very supported by it. So it's a...
Great. Perfect. All right. So tell us a little bit more about what kind of events you do throughout the year. I know I went to your Passover Seder last year. It was excellent. And just plan to spend the time.
mm-hmm.
They are long, aren't they?
Yes.
Yes, they are. But tell us a little bit about what you do on a regular basis and other new things you're planning to implement next mm-hmm. year.
So Chabad is a Jewish organization all over the world, like I said, locally, very non-judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
So my mission here personally in Paso Robles is that everything Jewish should be available. Your address for everything Jewish. I'm not here to impose, persuade, coerce anyone. But if somebody wants to keep kosher, they should be able to do that. If somebody wants to put on tefillin, they should be able to do that. If somebody wants to light Shabbat candles, they should be able to do that, et cetera, et cetera. So having an address for everything Jewish in Paso Robles is very expensive. And if somebody feels that they benefit from it, or that they would like that there should be an address for everything Jewish in Paso Robles, we encourage you to contribute to our campaign. We do throughout the year. We have, as Barry mentioned, our Hanukkah menorah lighting is one of our biggest events, open to the entire community. We also do a lot of things for the Jewish community, like our Passover Seder. We celebrate all the holidays, high holiday services. We recently started a weekly Torah discussion. So every Shabbat morning, every Saturday morning, we get together with fellow members from the Jewish community, and we just discussed the Torah portion. The Torah is divided into 52 portions, and every week we discuss a different portion. We do, of course, home visits, hospital visits, visit people at their places of work, life cycle ceremonies. We do funerals, Brit Milah, bar mitzvahs.
Explain what a Brit Milah is.
It's a Jewish circumcision.
Okay, got it. I knew that, but I wanted the audience
absolutely
to understand what that
was. It's done by a qualified rabbi doctor.
A moyel.
A moyel, exactly. Yeah. it's what the Jewish boys go through at the age of 8 days old.
I'd rather not think about it.
That's okay.
Okay.
That and why Hanukkah is in the last week of December this year. You'd rather not think about that.
Okay, so what other, tell us a little bit about the Torah study. I mean, how long do those sessions usually go for you guys? And what are some of your favorite segments of the Torah that you like to cover?
So the favorite part about the Torah discussions, the favorite segments is that we segue off, totally off topic, almost every time. Okay. So it lasts about an hour, but the topics for discussion are endless. People ask questions. People bring up all different things that are or aren't connected. We try to stay somewhat on topic, but it's really beautiful. It's really an opportunity to connect, to learn more about our heritage. You know, we spoke before about the way to fight anti-Semitism is by being more proud of who we are, and everyone should really be more proud of who they are. We're definitely not imposing Judaism on other people, but learn about our heritage. Mm-hmm. Like, we should all learn about our heritage, and that's something that it's a great opportunity to come together Shabbat morning, Saturday morning, and learn about that.
And what's coming up? What's coming up this Saturday? What topic? What segment of the Torah?
So we're in the middle of the Torah reading. Where, if you're familiar with the story, we're after Jacob spends 20 years at his what became his father-in-law Laban's house. He's now on his way back home, back to the land of Israel, where he's going to meet his brother Esau, and that is a very interesting episode of what happens there.
Well, and that's kind of the whole, I guess, inflection point of the whole issue between the Muslim religion and the Jewish religion, right? The Esau, who was the son of, I can't remember.
Isaac?
Well, Isaac, but it was...
Ishmael. Ishmael was the son of Abraham.
Okay, I was thinking Ishmael. Okay, okay.
Right, we read about him 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Okay. You can tell how good I am at this.
I'm gotta come by more often,
or come by at all. So, anyway, all right. Well, listen. Anything else? We got about another minute left. Is there anything else you want to talk about here? Is it?
If there's any way we could help, we like to give the community more than we take from the community. So, if there's any way we could help with anything Jewish, please don't hesitate to reach out. You'll find us online, ChabadPaso.com. Again, that's ChABAD, Paso.com, and I'm available for anything Jewish.
for anything Jewish.
The only thing I don't do myself is the circumcision.
Well, I would like to get everything Jewish. I'd like to get some good corned beef.
We're working on that, too.
And corn rye, you know.
We're working on that. We're working on that. Kosher corned beef, corn rye, pastrami, mm-hmm. deli sandwiches.
I know.
That's one of the main parts of Judaism after the Manischewitz.
We need a Brent's Deli in Paso Robles is what we need. So
we're on it.
You're on it. All right. I'll bet you that would help the year-end campaign. and you have several children, don't you? That you're
thank God.
Thank God. How many you got?
About a handful.
A handful, huh? That I met them. They were an expanding family.
Thank God we're blessed.
We're
very grateful for our blessings.
Yeah. Well, one of these days we'll get. I'd like to see them again. They'd be great. So, folks, I want you to go to the Chabad of Paso Robles website. That's Chabad, C-H-A-B-A-D, Paso.com. And you can get all the information on the menorah lighting on the 29th at 4:30. And anything else we can do to be helpful, we do it. So, Rabbi, last word.
Let's make the world a better place.
Okay.
That's what we're here for. We could add in goodness, add in kindness. Be nicer to each other. It's the world that God put us in. We're responsible for our surroundings. I think people don't remember this, how much it's our world is in our hands. So if you think you're not significant, if you think the person next to you is not significant, let's take the world in our hands and be nice to the people around us. Let's be better people. Add more light. And light dispels darkness.
All right. Well, thanks again for being here, and we'll see you at the menorah lighting. Folks, I'll be back on the other side of the hour. Good deal. With Alexandra Morris, gerontologist.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.